Hi, everyone. As Matt said, I'm Shannon. I'm from the Altarm Institute in Washington, D.C. And today I'm going to be talking about policies for creating healthier environments for early childhood and after-school programs. And I have no disclosures. And here is where we fit into the framework for YUSA. Today I'll be talking about our evaluation of the YMCA's commitment to healthy eating and physical activity standards in early childhood and after-school programs. So the Y's commitment is part of its healthier, or its broader healthy living framework, and it's designed to show how change how a large number of Y child care programs do business and promote wellness for children in such a way that promotes long-lasting impact on the children. So as you are all well aware, I'm sure, obesity is a major problem for children in the United States. It affects nearly one-third of all children and adolescents, and as the Y is the nation's largest nonprofit organization providing child care, they realized they were in a position to play an important role in fighting obesity. So therefore, in 2011, YUSA made a commitment to the Partnership for a Healthier America, which is the nonprofit organization that works separate from but alongside with First Lady Michelle Obama's Let's Move campaign to garner commitments of significance to end childhood obesity. So the Y's commitment stated that by the end of 2015, 85% of YMCA associations with an early childhood or after school program site will meet the Y's healthy eating and physical activity, or HEPA, standards. So the HEPA standards are evidence-based, and they're designed to support healthy living environments for early childhood and after school programs. And these standards encompass parent and caregiver outreach, physical activity time and outdoor physical activity, restricting the minutes and the type of screen time offered in programs, serving meals and snacks family style, promoting healthful items such as serving a fruit or vegetable at all meals and snacks, as well as eliminating less healthful items like fried foods or sugar-sweetened beverages, providing water at all times, and emphasizing other healthful beverages such as low-fat milk or 100% juice in specific serving sizes. And then finally, the HEPA standards also cover healthy infant practices such as promoting breastfeeding support and daily tummy time. And overall, Y's have really supported this commitment. 88% of associations had made the pledge to YUSA to implement the HEPA standards. So we at the Altarm Institute have been working with YUSA since 2011 to verify and evaluate this commitment. And earlier work we had done with the Y, we found that Y's were experiencing some challenges in meeting 100% of the standards, which is what the PHA commitment defines as meeting it. And so to address this challenge, YUSA started the HEPA grant project, which is designed to help support the critical infrastructure needs and catalyze the dissemination of the HEPA standards. So these funds went to incentivize Y's that were close to meeting all of the HEPA standards and then help them take those final steps to achieve 100% compliance. And then these funds also went to enhance the YUSA support to these local Y's through training, technical assistance, and communication and marketing materials. So the purpose of our evaluation and what I'll be talking about today is to assess whether this project had an effect on Y's rates of compliance with the HEPA standards. So in order to identify Y's to participate in this project, we first invited all Y's that committed to meeting the HEPA standards to take a HEPA survey, which is an online self-report assessment tool which asked early childhood and after-school program directors how many of their program sites were meeting each of these standards. And this is just an overview of kind of who participated. So 322 Y associations completed the early childhood portion of the HEPA survey, and 154 associations indicated they had at least one program site that was meeting all of the HEPA standards. So then we asked those associations to identify up to 5 program sites that were meeting 100% of the standards, and the Y's identified 322 early childhood program sites. 407 Y associations completed the after-school portion of the survey, and 173 indicated they had at least one program site that was meeting all of the HEPA standards. When they were asked to list up to 5 program sites that were meeting all of the HEPA standards, 451 program sites were named. So overall, 439 associations completed the HEPA survey, and they identified 773 program sites as being 100% compliant. So we then requested documents from all 773 program sites and reviewed documents for 462 sites at our baseline. Earlier evaluation work had found that WISE tended to overstate their compliance with the HEPA standards in the self-report surveys when we compared this to direct observation data. But because it's infeasible to collect direct observation data for an organization as big and geographically dispersed as the Y, we tested alternative, more accurate methods to assess HEPA compliance. And we found that document review or reviewing program documents and policies was a more feasible and accurate approach. So for the document review, we requested that WISE submit a variety of documents, which included program schedules, which outlined the activities and the time spent in those activities, menus, which outlined all the food and beverages that the program served, parent and staff handbooks, which outlined program policies and staff expectations, and then finally, any examples of parent outreach, such as newsletters, flyers, or handouts, and that helped us to understand the frequency and the type of outreach that WISE were having with caregivers. So the document reviewers then, we had a specific protocol that we followed, which explained what it meant to meet or not meet for the standard for each of the HEPA standards and kind of what documents were necessary to determine this. And while we reviewed all of the program documents, we recorded details and pulled directly from the documents to determine, to explain our determination. In any circumstance where compliance wasn't clear, we sent the documents and the questions to the work group, and a final decision was made by the project leader. And that process was documented in the protocol as well, so that if the question came up again later in the review, the rating would be consistent. So here is our timeline for the evaluation project. In March of 2014, we requested documents from all associations that had reported having at least one site that was compliant, and we did the document review process through March and May of 2014. Using our results, YUSA provided 107 grants to, provided 107 grants to Y associations to work with one program site to achieve compliance, full compliance. These 107 associations received customized feedback reports, which explained which standards they were meeting and not meeting, examples of ways to meet all the standards, and example policy language that they could use in their documents. They also received funding, training, technical assistance, and communication materials from the Y. Then in November of 2014, those Ys that received these supports were asked to resubmit documents to determine if they had made the changes necessary to become 100% compliant. A total of 102 associations submitted documents for 119 program sites, just 51 early childhood and 68 after school. So here are the results from the baseline and follow-up document reviews for the early learning programs. As you can see from the blue bars, at baseline there were no Ys that were compliant with more than 79% of the HEPA standards. However, after receiving grants and support, HEPA compliance increased overall, and WISE were verified as being 100% compliant. 92% of early childhood program sites improved the number of HEPA standards they were meeting, and of the 51 early childhood sites we reviewed at follow-up, 7 were meeting 100% of the standards. And overall, 23 sites achieved compliance with 80% or more of the standards. The results for after school are very similar. At baseline, no Ys were compliant with 80% or more of the HEPA standards, but after receiving the grants and support, compliance increased and Ys were verified as being 100% compliant. 94% of Ys improved the number of HEPA standards they were meeting, and of the 68 after school program sites we reviewed at follow-up, 13 were meeting 100% of the standards. So in this chart, we're looking at the individual HEPA standards where we saw the biggest improvements for early childhood sites between baseline and follow-up. These standards include prohibiting the fried food and sugar-sweetened beverages, along with having limits on screen time. And one thing that all these standards have in common is that when we determine compliance for these, we review policy language. And because we had provided formal policy language to help WISE become compliant during their customized feedback report, this may have supported them in the follow-up rating. The standards that showed the smallest differences in compliance between baseline and follow-up were those related to physical activity or in serving a fruit or vegetable at all meals and snacks. In contrast to the last slide, these three standards require more effort and time to achieve compliance, so it's not surprising that we didn't see as great of a change. One thing to point out is that for physical activity, this is an area that Y's tend to do really well in overall, so there was less room for improvement. As you can see, 100% of sites were already compliant at follow-up with the outdoor play standard. But for the fruit and vegetable standard, there's a lot more work that goes into being compliant with this. Y's need more time to plan menus. They need adequate storage to hold the additional fruits and vegetables, and they also need money to purchase these. So the change might, being compliant with the standard's a little bit more challenging than updating policy language. For after-school standards, we also see the biggest compliance changes occurred in digital device use, prohibiting TV and movies, and prohibiting particular kinds of food or drink. And as with the early learning standards, compliance for these standards are due to changes in policy language. And because WISE were given examples of policies which met these standards, it may have been easier for them to update their resources to be compliant at follow-up. After-school program sites that showed the least amount of improvement in the were in the parent engagement and standards related to the amount and type of physical activity offered. So for the after-school program sites that were not meeting these standards, it was usually due to insufficient documentation or because they just didn't address it in their program policies. These results suggest that the after-school sites just need help in revising their policies to effectively include information on parent engagement or the type of physical activity offered. So overall, we saw that grants really helped the WISE make the necessary program changes to become 100% compliant, and the biggest changes in both early learning and after-school programs were related to screen time and digital device use, as well as the prohibition of unhealthy foods. Grant recipients were the first YMCAs to achieve 100% compliance since the start of the evaluation. The conclusions that we drew from this study include that having standards can increase research-based practices that promote healthy eating and physical activity, but implementation of these standards requires considerable effort and work. We believe that the document review process helped WISE achieve compliance because it may have increased awareness of current practices and policies. It also communicated specific information about which standards they were and weren't meeting, which would help them kind of direct their attention towards the ones they weren't meeting to achieve compliance. And finally, we recognize that asking sites to document compliance is time-consuming, but it pays off in increasing compliance and institutionalizing changes. The Y as an institution is great at retention overall, but there is some staff turnover in early childhood and after-school sites, so establishing program policies is important in implementing long-term changes. Thank you.
Thank you, Shannon.